But the Jays are in town. They've been down at the Dome all weekend. And our boy Scotty Mitchell's there. When was the last time we talked to someone at like a sporting event? Like he's actually in, is he in the bubble?
Remember, in the building.
I guess he's in the building, in the bubble. Here he is, our Jays reporter. How would you define where you are right now?
I am standing in the 200 level on the third baseline, staring at Austin Martin working at third base for the first time as a Blue Jay. So I'm in the building. I've been temp checked. I'm healthy. I have no COVID toes. I have no fever. Okay. I'm good. Everything's good in here, man. This is the most normal feeling I've had in, I guess, about since March 11th, I think it was.
Well, it's
why 200 level? Take us through that.
Why are you in there?
Why not down by the field?
Yeah, no, there's no field access for us. They've got us roped into an area in a suite area up on the 200 level, and that's where we go. No ballpark access. Other than that, we're doing everything via Zoom. So, really, the only benefit of being in the building is getting to watch live baseball and to get out of the condo for a little bit. So, other than that, you can pretty much do everything from home. So, it's a unique situation. It's interesting. It's new for everybody, but this is our new normal right now. So. You just get to take some bad videos like you'll find on my Twitter for the last few days, and there's many more to come.
Well, let's get crazy here because we're back in the sports world. We're back in the hot take environment. So is Austin Martin taking hacks at third because Vladdy has moved over to first? Can you connect those dots for us, Scotty?
Well, look, I mean, we knew Vladdy was going to first base eventually, and we knew Austin Martin can play third base, especially when two of the high-end comps that he got in the draft are Anthony Rendon and Alex Bregman. So, you know, I think that was the question, where are they going to work him first? And he's been at third base since he ran out on the field about 15 minutes ago to stretch. So third base, you know, shortstop was never really an option. That's where he was a little bit in college. But, you know, third base, second base, and then the question is, will they start working him in the outfield, which obviously there's a huge long-term hole in center field at this point. So it looks like they're going to keep him comfortable. He's played some third base, so they'll let him, you know, find his way. And I'm sure they'll move him around a ton, and, you know, we won't hear a lot about it because he's going to be at the alternate training site. We won't have eyes on him all summer, but the versatility is really what is the attraction with this guy, and it's going to be interesting to see where he lands ultimately, but he gives the Blue Jays a ton of options in terms of being able to fit him kind of wherever they need him in probably 2022.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Vladdy moving to first was inevitable, and I'm all for this move. I've never understood that conventional wisdom in baseball where you just continue to push a guy at a position you know he can't play. And anyone that watched him play at third last year, he is not capable of playing the position. He was always going to first. Maybe he even ends up as a DH. I don't know if it's a lock he plays his whole career at first. He might not. We'll see. But I like what you said as well. You talk about connecting the dots. Them moving over him over there indicates maybe they feel they can catch lightning in a bottle this year with 60-game seasons and the uncertainty that comes with that. It's not necessarily a development year. It's a let's put our best team on the field type year. And this also, I think it takes the pressure off Vladdy in terms of the shape he's in. I still think it's important that he stays in shape so he can stay on the field, but he doesn't have to move at the same pace that he had to at third base. I'm all for this move. I like that they made this decision. I don't care what they were saying 6 months ago. This was always going to happen. It should happen. I'm all for it starting now. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, pretty much the same way. I mean, I think it's more about 2021 than this year. I think they just look at it, and they came into camp in February, and he was doing a little bit of work at first base, so you could see it kind of go in that direction. I mean, you could see it go in that direction 2 years ago in Double A, really, but when you look at what they've done this year, they want to get him ready for next year. This is about getting this team ready to contend. And you can see now that the dominoes are kind of shifting from the fact that it was all about development. You were trying to develop him at the major league level. You thought you had 162 games back in February to see if it was going to work. This team wasn't going to contend in a real full season. Now, like you said, anything could happen in this season, but it's really about getting his feet wet and then moving into 2021 with him as their long-term first baseman and then trying to fit the pieces around. You're going to go into an offseason. Now you know you have a hole at third base. If you want to bring Travis Shaw back, you can. depending on how he performs. But now you know you need a long-term third baseman. You have your first baseman, and you really just want to take the pressure off him because he was trying to develop at the major league level as a third baseman, and he was completely exposed last year, whether it was the eye test, whether it was the metrics. You looked at him and you knew he wasn't a major league third baseman. And, you know, I asked him when we got to chat with him via Zoom a couple days ago if that kind of pressure kind of affected him in the batter's box. And he said it didn't, but you want to make this kid comfortable. You want to put him in the best position to succeed. And the best position to succeed is put him over at first base, let him not worry about playing a real, real tough position at third base at the major league level when he just simply can't do it. And now you want to see that bat flourish, because if Vladdy isn't your third, fourth hitter, something's gone wrong. So whether, you know, whatever glove he's toting around, whatever glove he's got, wherever he's playing on a daily basis, whether it's a couple games at third, first base mostly, DHing, the bat is what's going to make him special and make him such a key part of what they expect to be a championship caliber team at some point here in the next 2-3 years.
Scott, you mentioned briefly Travis Shaw. You dropped a bit of a bombshell for him, and he kind of spent the weekend cleaning it up. How's that relationship with you and him right now? Is he upset that got out there in that manner? And it sounded to me like he was just reacting to news that he didn't even know that he was going to be asked to spend the entire season in the hotel. Maybe just rewind and kind of how the weekend went and that entire exchange with Travis Shaw.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation because, that's one of the things you lose in this environment. I mean, I can't go up to Travis Shaw's locker in the clubhouse and have a man-to-man conversation and kind of, you know, talk things through. So that is lost. And so if Travis Shaw's mad at me, I don't know at this point. But, I mean, I presented a piece of information that he took to Twitter and obviously had some thoughts. And when you look at the whole story, really, I reported it Friday, and it kind of flew under the radar for a couple of days that the Toronto Blue Jays management did not tell these players or give them any indication that this quarantine bubble could last past summer camp if they do get games approved here. And to me, that's a terrible miscommunication or lack of communication on the team's part. And, you know, you could say that's getting ahead of yourselves. You can say, we don't know what it's going to look like if games are approved, because they're going through those conversations and discussions right now. But when you look at the reality of it, to not warn these players that they could be in this bubble all summer for 3 months through the end of September, to me is pretty amazing. And it's a lack of foresight on the organization's part. And Shaw talked last night, and he said that management sat all the players down on Saturday and talked them through it and told them all the possibilities. And it's kind of pretty amazing that didn't happen 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and that was clear with his reaction. Like it was a genuine reaction. It was almost like he was taking in the information that you presented, Scotty, that if the Jays are up here, or anyone that comes up here, you have to abide by the quarantine laws of the federal government, which means if you're spotted breaking them, it could cost a substantial fine, maybe jail time, although jail time is never going to be realistic. But he was almost caught off guard. And I understand his take. He's like, I don't want to stay in this hotel or in this stadium for the next 60 days or 90 days or whatever it's going to be. But it became abundantly clear to me, the way that he reacted and the way, I wouldn't necessarily he backpedaled, but he came out and he said, you know, that's on me. I didn't realize it was tone deaf. It feels like someone got to him within the organization and said, please, like, we're negotiating with the federal government. They're concerned we're going to break the rules. And you basically just tweeted out, we're breaking the rules, man. Like, we're not staying here.
We don't even know the rules.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know the rules. But if those are the rules, that's not happening. Like, we're not doing it. So,
well, that's exactly it. I mean, he was a complete shock to him. He admitted yesterday that, that was news to him. And then I guess he did some research after a few minutes. Or like you said, someone told him, like, hey, yeah, it might be a possibility. Then he backpedaled a little bit. And the reaction's understandable. The amazing part is just for an organization that talks about opportunities and alternatives on a regular basis, that they didn't present the opportunities and alternatives to their players when they all came up here. So, just a lack of foresight on the organization's part, and it caused a little stir. And, you know, that's the original report. These guys have been told that $750,000 is the fine if they are seen in the street. Not up to, that is the Quarantine Act, that is the max fine, but they've been told specifically $750,000, and Shaw was just shocked that that stipulation was going to go on potentially past the end of camp here. And you know, we should get some clarity this week. I know the Blue Jays are hoping you know, to find out and figure out where they're going to spend their 30 home games this year, but you know, time's ticking, and next week they fly to Boston for a pair of exhibition games. So we should get some clarity, and these players will have some clarity at some point this week, I would think.
Scott, when you get around the players, as a former player, I mean, I can't even imagine not knowing that or not being told that that's a possibility, and the reaction, like, what is the organization doing for us right now? Have the players gotten to the point where they're mildly frustrated, not at the situation because they understand it's out of their hands, it's even understand the organization's hands, but just at not knowing, at the instability of their situation? Are they getting frustrated with not knowing where they're going to be playing this season?
You know, I don't think so. I don't sense that. I think these guys are happy to be back, you know, in a baseball setting, going back to work. And it's very similar to like any of us. I mean, we would love to be, I know Hayes would love to be sitting in his cushy studio in his big chair, and you know, you just kind of have to deal with things as they come. And I think players are really happy to be back in a baseball routine. You know, whether they'd be happy in a bubble all summer, you know, I think we got an indication of that on Friday, but they're just happy to be out there doing work. They're around their teammates. They're back, you know, in a somewhat sense of normalcy, trying to ramp up for their job that's going to start on July 24th in Tampa. So, you know, they all understand the situation. I think they would love to have clarity. They would love to know, but there's so much unknown just, you know, outside of that, outside of, you know, any sort of where you're going to play your home games. There's uncertainty whether this season is even going to happen, whether it's going to get shut down, who's going to get sick, who's going to stay healthy. You know, this is just the world we live in. I think the players are kind of accepting that and taking it and rolling with the punches at this point.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. So even though Marcus Stroman is no longer a member of the Blue Jays, he's found his way back into the news cycle up here. He and Randall Grichuk going at it over the weekend on Twitter, and somehow Aubrey Huff was involved. But, you know, Stroman is he played a big role in the daily chatter and narrative and you know, analysis of the team while he was up here. He was a fascinating figure. He had his ins with different media members, but in large part, the fans supported him, loved him up here. He seemed to love the city. He went out of his way to prove that with tattoos of the city skyline, etc. But for me, you know, I'm past the Stroman era. I don't care about Marcus Stroman anymore. I don't wish any ill will against him. Go ahead, do your thing with the Mets, but you're gone. Does the ghost of Stroman still hang around that clubhouse? Like, is he still something that – is he a guy that comes up at all among the players?
No, not at all. I think the Stro Show, you know, there's no reruns on Twitter for the Stro Show. There's always something new, and, you know, that's how he stays relevant, and that's how he likes to spend his days. And he's always got an opinion, and, you know, love it or hate it, that's who he is, and he's not changing, and he'll tell you that. And, you know, I think you see the reasons that, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays wanted to move on from Marcus Stroman, because when you look at the situation kind of objectively, the dude's a pretty good pitcher, and, you know, he's a real good number three on a championship caliber team. And, the Blue Jays felt like, you know, there was just too much, kind of that comes with having Marcus Stroman in a clubhouse and, you know, being around this team for the last 4 years. It's very apparent that he has a very strong personality. He has a very he has a lot of influence on the younger players, and the Blue Jays clearly didn't feel like that was what this club needed. And I think a lot of people that have spent time around Marcus would agree with that. And you know, results speak for themselves. And if he goes out and pitches well this year, he's going to get a lucrative contract. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see, because I think, you know, Stroman has this this real charismatic personality, and he loves to, you know, smile. He's got a very, you know, dynamic personality that draws people to him. And I really do think there's a shelf life on it, because people start to see who he really is and how he really acts and what he's really about. And, you know, I think that's probably Marcus Stroman first, second, and third. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that kind of develops in New York, if he stays there, or if he does go sign a long-term deal somewhere else. You know, is there that expiry date as well, where some teams just say, hey, man, you know, it's not worth the trouble at some point?
Enjoy it down there, buddy. Normalcy. We've been seeking it for about 3 or 4 months, and you're in the building, so take advantage. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
All right. Cheers, fellas.
Here's Scott Mitchell from the Rogers Center. And that's interesting that he said, you know, this feels normal, the fact that I'm in the building, where leading up to this, I got the sense that a lot of people maybe would feel trepid walking back into a building or being out in public or whatever. And Scotty said, you know, that's what he's been seeking out for a while. And it is different. He mentioned if you live in a condo downtown, you know, that's why the beaches are full. That's why Trinity Bellwoods, you know, blew up a month ago. Yeah. It's all people that have been in condos for 3 months.
Everyone says, oh, just stay in your house, stay in your house. Well, if your house is 400 square feet and it's in the 25th story, then, like, sometimes you need some fresh air and you gotta go somewhere to get it. So I have sympathy for that situation, and a lot of people are in it. So, and just to kind of find, and I can hear the cracking of the balls in the background, like little soundtrack of baseball going on. And it's like, you know, pucks hitting the glass and slapping off sticks. And you can see how that would feel good. That would feel normal, sound normal. The rhythm, the players aren't too frustrated about where they're going to play because they're just happy to be playing somewhere, anywhere, and kind of do what feels normal. Even though we know the world outside is not yet there, when you're on the diamond, on the pitch, on the ice, it will feel normal. You won't be thinking about, I wonder if this guy's going to breathe on me or cough into his arm. You're just going to be thinking about playing. And I think that would be a pretty liberating few hours for everyone to go through.
Big time.